Hi, Casey.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
I'm sad for you. I don't know. You guys, you should know that Miss Casey Wilson right now is propped up in a bed. She called me a little while ago and was just like, Danielle, I pulled my back. And we know that Casey has back problems as she pulled her back into Macy's in Chicago trying on a bra years ago. And she's never fully recovered. I have to say
it's never been the same when I reached down for that. Shentakai 36D.
And here you are propped up on a bed. Anytime she moves her legs, we hear a scream. It's upsetting, but here you are, the hero
old,
that you are.
Danielle, but I'm here, and you know, it's been a tough 2 days where my son is having to lift my legs onto the bed. My back is in a full spasm, and I don't know what to do. My doctor's giving me Tylenol.
That's not enough. You need to get a better doctor.
You know it's not going to cut it for me. I'm such a pill head.
No, you need something stronger.
But Danielle, you know, my back problems aside, there's been something else that's happened this week that's been really sad.
Can you tell us about it?
In my life.
Can you talk about it?
Now I'm laughing, but I urge everyone, please know I don't find this funny. I don't find it funny
at all.
We
laugh so we don't cry.
That's right, Danielle. And many of you may not know that about 5 months ago, I purchased a family pet, a fish named Spongy, a betta fish, a Japanese fighter fish, a glorious fish with, they've got like multi, like very like floating, almost looks like wings,
yeah.
But they're like, what do you call them?
Tendrils?
Fins? Tendrils. Yeah, like tendrils. Very beautiful fish.
You've loved this fish. No, you've really talked to me about this
Danielle,
fish. You've told me of your connection with this fish, that your kids don't pay it mind, and that's who the fish was originally for. But you seem to communicate with this fish, because I have told you that I hate fish. And so you've said, no, this goes beyond that.
Danielle, this fish and ice connection, I want everyone to know, I adopted a dog that was like 9, and I really loved the dog, my dog Duffy. Mm-hmm. And believe me, I took great care of it. I loved Duffy, but we were peers like rattling around in the house together. He was more of like, honestly, when I looked into his eyes, I was like, this is my gay uncle living with me. He was like an elder man with his own kind of, he was very independent. Mm-hmm. We were kind of like living side by side.
Yeah.
Loved Duffy, but Spongy. I will lie on my side when I could walk, and we would stare into each other's eyes. He comes right to the edge of the tank when I would come in for food, which I later read. It's not that he like recognizes me and feels me, but they know when food's coming, but I don't care. I've been on Reddit threads, Danielle, with fellow betta fish lovers, and we all say the same thing, like, what's going on here with this connection, you know, to these fish?
And what did you, would you talk to it out loud? Did you think you had a psychic connection?
Oh, I go, hey, Spongy, hey, boo-boos, hey, oh, yeah. And I go in, and every night's the same. I'm like, oh, I got to feed Spongy. And my kids had this weird joke where they're like, not again. And I'm like, yes, again. Like, we have a fish that no one pays any mind. My Sunday morning ritual, coffee, changing Spongy's tank. I had pH sticks for the water. I bought him all these little accoutrements that I washed in special water. I took time to make sure the temperature was completely right so that I wasn't, you know, just willy-nilly throwing him into new water.
You talk of Spongy more than I've heard anyone talk. Most people, I don't even know they have fish. Nobody doesn't know you have Spongy.
Except our audience, but that's unusual.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, some things are so deeply felt you can't share them on a podcast.
No, it's like you had a new boyfriend. That's what, you know, how like, you know, it's like.
Yes. Like, and I'm like starting to tell people because I know what's budding is so real.
Yeah. And you also like drop his name into ways that like I didn't think he could become a part of the conversation. You know what I mean? Where you're like, are you just trying to talk about Spongy? Like, I was like, I don't think this related to Spongy.
Oh, yeah. I can work Spongy into anything. And yet this week I had to work him into the toilet and flush him down. Danielle, see, you're laughing because in your head you're like, just another fish, because you're like, you know, and I hope PETA comes after you because.
No, I'm laughing because you had to work just the transition.
Yeah, but I want everyone to feel what stark transition I felt when it came to Spongy and what happened, Kate? On Monday night. Now we're 3 days out, but I had to call my therapist for an emergency session. None of this is a lie. And maybe she was like, could this be, we're coming up on the 1 year anniversary of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, your dad's gotten vaccinated. You're starting to feel a little bit of a weight lift. Mm-hmm. And so her whole thing is like, once we sometimes feel relief, we don't know the PTSD or the trauma we've all been feeling. So now we're able to sink into it. And I'm like, no, bitch, Spongy died. And here's what happened to him is what's really hard to reconcile. Danielle,
I am trying to find sympathy in my heart right now. So I'm gonna dig in deep. I'm gonna dig in and I'm gonna breathe and I'm gonna listen.
Again, I know so much is going on in the world, and yet, you know, everyone's current problems are their own. And he was a member of our like quarantine team. I think that's why it's kind of hitting me. Like, we've been trapped in this house together and a member has fallen. Like, someone's no longer with us. And I've Googled so many endless times this week, do fish have souls? And people are like, well, that's up to you to decide. Like, internet doesn't know. And I really want to hear feedback from people. Have you been close to a fish?
What happened?
You know, I hate cats. I'm not like an animal lover. Okay. Okay. So I bought Spongy this grass. You know, like in a fish tank, you can kind of anchor in some grass. Uh-huh. Not grass, but like plastic flowers that are like bright fluorescent colors so that they can kind of hide in there. And beta fish love to hide, Danielle. And they'll often sleep in a way that you're like, are they floating or are they asleep? And they nestle into this grass to kind of hold them from floating to the surface.
Okay.
I got a new grass that I was feeling really good about. It was actually really cool. It was like electric, you know, like lime green grass sticking straight up.
Had you read about the grass? Had you seen the grass somewhere?
No, but I like looked on Amazon. I read reviews. Mm-hmm. People were like, we love this. So I'm like, oh, I got to get Spongy something new. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to get him little treats. What I come up with is this grass that I didn't really realize when I put it in was pointy. Mm. And all different like levels, like the tops were really high. And then in the middle of the grass, it was lower blades, if you will. And they were blades because I walked in on Monday night and I found Spongy speared. Speared by the grass that I placed in there in order to entertain and provide a home.
Casey, are you crying? I'm so sorry. I'm laughing.
Y'all, I'm laughing and I am crying because it's so upsetting.
I have to, like, I'm going to dig in.
I tried so hard so to kill him. And then my family's like, you killed Spongy. And I'm like, you didn't fucking do anything to take care of him. Like, at least I tried. But then for him to die at my hand was so hard.
This is like Cameron Westcott. And... at her husband's
And I didn't want to believe it was true because you know, most fish float to the top when they die. Of course, he couldn't float anymore.
He'd been speared.
Again.
He'd been speared through.
He was like a
shish kebab.
What do you call it? Kebab. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He was like a kebab. Again, I'm laughing. Like, I don't know.
No, you can't see. Casey, like, I can't. It's stupid. Her eyes are filled with tears. Tears.
Because it's like someone died. And I don't know if it's like I have kids now and I'm feeling of every living soul. I've been praying to Spongy. I've been apologizing. Like, I feel bad. Like, I feel like I killed a soul. And I was just trying to help, but it doesn't make it right. And my husband was like, yeah, ooh, that's a shame about Spongy. And I come downstairs and he's watching a basketball game.
No, poor David.
I'm hysterically crying. And I'm like, it's one thing you guys didn't take care of Spongy. It's another thing. Like, you're not even giving him his due. The next morning, kids are watching TV. I bring down a candle that I light.
Oh.
In front of Doc McStuffins. I'm like, nobody's watching Doc right now.
The doc
is not in.
You know what? When we could have used the doctor? When Spongy was speared through. But she was nowhere to be found.
Where the fuck was that little bitch? So I'm holding, I light my candle, and I say, we're going to go around, and we're going to say something nice about Spongy. And my three-year-old goes, oh, remember other fish? Blue, he died too. I'm like, you know what? Blue was a mere goldfish that we won at like a petting, like the pumpkin patch. So you'd like toss a ring into a thing and he lasted like 3 days. He's like, Blue died too. And then my little one's like, I think you fed him too much.
Oh!
I'm like, why am I being blamed over and over? Then my older son, who's 5, was losing his first tooth. He's like, did Spongy have teeth? I'm like, you know what?
It's not about you and
understands
your teeth.
This. So that's it, Danielle. I'm just putting it out there. Like, I have listened to songs in the car and I've cried about Sponge. I'm like, did Spongy, was he like a relative or someone from generations past that had come back? The reaction feels too big.
I mean, you did say you connected with Spongy in that way. So I think that it feels like a loss because it's a connection that is now gone.
Yeah.
But I will say that it seems to me you can have a similar connection to Spongy while he's now not on this plane because that, you know... In a sense. I'm trying here.
Were you sad when your dad... your dad's still alive. I meant dog.
Oh, when Pika died,
I remember you pretty sad, Danielle.
It was a loss that it was, in fact, your husband was very gracious at the time to me because I was working on a show of his, Marry Me, at the time on your show.
Yeah.
And Pika died and he was like, do you need the day off? And I continued forth.
Well, I didn't get any day off from my husband. I'm glad he can show compassion to others. It's like, why do we automatically assume dogs are on a higher plane than a fish?
I guess, well...
Am I a vegetarian? No. But I never eat fish because it smells like vaginas. And but that's the only reason. I don't want to bite into that fleshy feel.
But you'll eat the fuck out of a steak and a chicken. No prob.
Look, I'm reconciling as June Rayfield says, we can hold many truths.
Sorry, Casey. It is a loss.
I really would like to hear from anyone listening out there that has felt a connection to a beta fish.
Where do you come down on birds?
I have no compassion. My makeup woman on the show I'm on, she was like, I know how you feel. I lost a snake once. I was like, bleh.
Gross. A good thing.
She's like, I used to have to defrost mice and throw it in the cage. I was like, this woman is
this is not disgusting. Okay. Someone told me they lost a snake. I'd be like, good, one less snake in the world. That's how I feel about snakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm sorry for your loss, Casey.
Thank you, Danielle. And you don't have to say any more, but I did send Danielle a wild string of texts that night. I was coming undone.
You were. And I felt for you because I could hear the loss in the tone of the text. And I also, you have told me of your love for him, and I told you to watch My Octopus Teacher because I felt like you would be Netflix doc.
A Netflix documentary that you said you and your husband make fun of constantly?
Yeah, we do. We make fun of it all the time.
Oh, the doorbell's ringing. I know who it's not.
It's not Spongy.
I see him in every, leaf that falls.
Maybe it's death coming to pick him up finally.
Or it's the Reaper coming to take me. You know, reap what you sow.
No, you did not kill Spongy. You.
It's like Lenny in Mice and Men. Is that the characters? Yes. Like I loved him so much, yeah, I squeezed him to death.
And I don't think that's true. I think fish die. That's part of what they do. That's part of their job. And so he completed his life cycle. I do believe that. Did you help him complete the life cycle? Yes.
I brought him there a little early. Yeah.
Look, did you send him on the expressway? Maybe. did he take the express train? Sure.
Oh, God.
But I think it's going to be okay.
Next stop, heaven.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
Hopefully. I don't know what his past sins are. I don't know what Spongy was up to. What kind of hard life
he was
living.
Did he do before he was with you? Maybe he was like knocking off banks. We don't know.
We don't know the life of Spongy.
Look, I got nothing going in my life. Everybody's fine so far.
Everybody's still alive in your world?
Still okay. So I think we'll just say a prayer for Spongy. R.I.P.
Thank you, R.I.P. And thanks to my friend Laura Kindred, who actually did light a candle of her own volition for Spongy because she's an animal nut and she felt it. And she's also felt a connection to a beta fish. Look, Danielle, if you don't have anything else to share, I'll just quickly tell you one other thing that happened this week.
Yes, please. I have nothing.
That I texted you and you were upset by as well. Just as you all know, to varying degrees, some of you may know or may not know, I, pre-pandemic and pandemic, have taken to going to the bathroom in my car in a mason jar.
You think someone's disgusting for having a snake. How dare you?
There's nowhere to go to the bathroom. You know, sometimes I'll use not a yoga mat, but like the towel you put over it and just toss it right back into the back seat. You know, hygiene's never been my strongest suit, as you know. But also, like, where during COVID in the epicenter am I walking into a bathroom?
No,
it's not happening.
Can't just, like, run into like a Bagel Bob's and like use their bathroom. You're not going
to
do that.
No, right and now. All I hear these days is I need to drink more water and this and that. And then what? What would you have me do? Well, yesterday there was no mason jar in the car. Now, I don't know who took it out because one time I opened up our like cabinet and I saw it in there.
Like filled with sugar or something?
No, like someone could drink out of it. Like, like a cup. No. And I realized my husband must have brought it in, put it in the dishwasher. And I just like kind of quietly took it back. So I'm like, someone's going to drink out of this. The similar thing happened. I'm frantic. I dropped my son off at preschool. I'm like, I'm going to blow. They will not let me in the preschool, which I understand. There's no, what am I doing? Am I squatting on the ground? I don't have a mason jar. I have nothing. And I'd actually kind of cleaned out my car. And when I tell you, I had a copy of my book and that's it in that car. And I wasn't going to deface those beautiful words.
No. You worked too hard on them.
So I turn in the back seat and under my son's, like where his feet dangle, I see one of those plastic flimsy red firefighter hats. Like he got it like a party a year ago, yes. You know the ones. Every kid's
yes,
got them.
Yes, we have them sacredly tucked away in a costume box. That,
of course. And it's concave. It's a bowl. Yeah,
it's a bowl of sorts. It's a hat.
Of sorts.
It's a hat. Let's just be honest. It's not a bowl. It's not a jar. No. It's a hat.
It's not a toilet.
No, it's certainly not. Well, but then.
It's like everybody wants to repurpose things in this life. So I take down my pants, scooch up. And now also I put my coat over my lap and I'm like waving to parents. I'm also texting. Well, yeah. And I'm like, God, am I going to get in trouble like lowering my pants in front of the school? That's a concern too. But there's nothing else on my mind besides I have to pee right now. I slide under the fire hat. I pee. It was very hard to get it out from under because it's so flimsy.
It's so flimsy. And also sometimes it's a bowl, but it can narrow. You know what I mean? Like it with the wrong amount of pressure from, say, a hand or a bottom. It can.
Or a gallon of urine.
It can buckle. And so was that a concern?
Yeah, like it was. It was very hard to navigate it out from under me while maintaining, you know, it's like a Zoom call from the top up. I'm waving. I'm, you know, the mom saying hi to everyone. And so I dump it out onto the street, put it back because what am I to do? And then in my head, I'm like, if you do nothing else in this fucking earth, Casey, you're taking that and throwing it right in the recycling. Like that is it. That is your marching order for today. There is no greater priority. Well, I forget. This weekend, I'm sitting on my couch having my coffee and I heard like a rustle and I see one of my sons wearing it.
Back from the dead, like the Pet Cemetery of hats, just in a terrifying form.
Like again, David brings it in, cleaning out the car.
David needs to stop cleaning out your car.
Yeah, and never ever imagining their mother. I'd urinated in it. David, if he heard that, as you know, he's never listened to the podcast once, he would jump off a bridge. He's so clean and like OCD.
And yet and there it was on your
to see it.
The littlest on a child's soft head.
I can only imagine enough time it passed. I hope it had dried. I don't know what happened, Danielle.
Well, that's almost worse because, you know, urine, I heard through the urine message boards.
Through the urine vine.
The urine Reddit. That at first it actually comes out and it's like it's antiseptic or something. Like that's why it's like you pee on like a sting or bee sting or something like that. But then, you know, 2 seconds later, the minute it hits air, it's basically like disgusting bacteria. Like it's just filth.
When you put it like that.
So just FYI. So it's been a tough week for you, is what I
There's been a lot of loss.
A lot of loss of dignity.
And a lot of wrong moves.
Yeah, dignity and a fish. Those are our two great losses this week that you suffered.
Yeah, they really are. I hope everyone's not just like, you're disgusting as
please.
A person.
Oh, well, you know, I've peed in my car too. This pandemic had to.
Absolutely. And I feel more friends are feeling more free.
Oh, I've had to. You can't just run in a place. It doesn't work like that anymore. The rules have changed.
The rules have changed.
So everybody needs to keep a urine hat in their car.
This really doesn't cost money. Whatever you can find, just grab. Although I do find a mason jar to be the right width.
I have
for
been using
female anatomy.
My daughter got this plastic Starbucks cup that she put hot chocolate in.
Okay.
It's sort of plasticky, like, and people are supposed to use it to like refill their coffee so that they don't waste coffee cups for the environment, you know. And that has been my cup of choice.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm just laughing because I remember 2 years ago when I told you this,
disgusted.
You were like, it shut down your emotional system.
No, I'm right along with you. I'm on the journey.
But are you bringing it in, washing it off? Or are you just kind of keeping it in the side door?
I bring it in, put it in the dishwasher, bring it back.
Seems like you're on top of it. Comings and goings.
But I will say, and this is what makes me a garbage human, is that once it's in the dishwasher.
Are you washing it out first, giving a little water before you?
I give it a little water and then I put it in the dishwasher.
Okay, okay.
No, I'm not a monster.
Okay, I love that I'm judging. I'm like, ew, Danielle.
I was like, you just basically took a shit in a hat and I'm the bad guy here.
Okay, only number one. Go on.
I have never done more number two.
Ever, 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 please.
Well,
okay, and then what happened?
Oh, but I'm saying I wouldn't, it wouldn't kill me if it was filled with coffee again.
Ew.
You have no right to judge.
That's disgusting,
Danielle. You cannot judge me. Your kids had urine all over their heads the other day. You cannot judge me.
I know. But yet I do.
You do.
But yet I do. Oh, Danielle. Well, look, it's been a year.
It's been a year.
This quarantine. Things have fallen away. People are up to new things. Some people learned how to bake bread. I learned how to piss in a fire hat.
And I learned how to piss in a coffee cup. Something I never thought I'd do. I'm proud of us both. We've grown.
Yeah, we survived the apocalypse.
And all we have to show for it is just urine-filled mason jars.
Oh, man. I'm happy to see you. I'm so happy to hear from our guest today. We have a lot to unpack.
We sure do. We've been gone.
A lot to unpack. We've got Jersey, we've got Dallas, we've got Atlanta, and we've got part three of Salt Lake. Before we sign off, and I truly hope you never heard that intro because I'll be embarrassed, but next week we have a very special guest, and that is one Sir Andrew Cohen, who will be coming on the podcast again.
Feels like the stars are aligning. I'm so excited to have him. I've missed him. I don't think he thinks about me, but I have missed him. We haven't seen him, or I haven't seen him since he surprised us at, no, we did Watch What Happens Live. Sorry. I lied. We did.
Oh, yeah. But a year ago in January, he surprised us at our live show.
Moment of my life.
And we chat with him from time to time. But just to see his face, especially after seeing him in Reunion Part 3 in that gorgeous powder blue suit.
We have so much to ask him, so much to dig deep on. I'm truly looking forward to it and preparing like a goddamn investigative journalist.
Me too. And while I do want to hear your comments about sponging my fish as a priority, second to that is if you have any questions for Andy, please feel free to email us at bootsonthegroundbs@gmail.com or just, try to DM us. And if Danielle and I can find out where those are, we will respond.
Once in a while I remember and I look and I respond, but sometimes I forget.
Yeah, of course. So excited for Andy Cohen next week. And
I just wanted to plug a little podcast for our friends. As you guys know, we had my aunt Rana on the other week and people loved
Rana
her.
Rana Glickman,
AKA Jessica Chaffin. But that character, Rana Glickman, is the funniest, best. I wish she was my aunt. She's the best.
A lot of people thought she was real.
I know.
Because she is so very fully realized.
Yes. It is. I think of them as two different people. I really do.
Me too. I'm talking to Jess and then I'm talking to Rana. Absolutely.
And Rana has her own podcast with other Bitch Sesh favorite, Ryan Safi. Guys, it's called Ask Rana. You can get it on Patreon. It is amazing and hilarious. It's the best. She's the best. If you liked her on our show, you'll love her more on her podcast.
She gives a lot of wonderful life advice. And sitting alongside her, riding shotgun as her co-host, is Brian Safi, the greatest of all time. It's such a funny podcast. So we just wanted to give her a little plug because people loved Rana. And we'd love to have Rana back on our show.
Anytime. All right.
Check it out. So then let's take a little break and we'll be back with our guest and dive into our cities. Casey Wilson here, plugging an incredible podcast hosted by a beloved person in my life, Jessica Diamond and Haley Hubbard. It is called Meaningful Living. It's a podcast on Dear Media, and Jessica and Haley know that parenting is hard. It's sometimes all the information available is completely overwhelming. And on Meaningful Living, they break down everything. It's kind of a Cliff's Notes to parenting. I myself am friends with Jessica. She's that person you go to for every single possible bit of advice, health related, kind of emotionally, psychologically related to kids. She's just so normal and has such a great grip on things. This season, they will be joined by friends and experts. They'll be sharing their firsthand experience as parents themselves. Meaningful Living is new every single Monday. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or follow on Spotify.
Guys, we have a guest today that I'm so excited for. I love this man. I really do. We have known him since Hot Wives, I think, because he was such a huge proponent of it and such a fan of it in the beginning and really helped get eyes on it. One of a few people that really helped us and promoted us. And he's always had a place in my heart. And he's also friggin' hilarious. He used to be the senior entertainment editor at BuzzFeed. And now he's currently the social media manager at Netflix. No big whatevs. Please welcome Jarrett Weisselman.
Hello. It's so nice to see you both.
Oh, Jarrett. I have to say, we were just, because I was trying to remember when was the last time you were on the podcast, which is such a strange question to have asked, because here we are on Thursday, March 10th, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The last time we saw you was the last in-person interview we had in my home a year ago, truly almost to the day.
Absolutely.
With Deanna Chang. And this was when, you know, we all knew something was afoot. I had left work early that day, but we were like, you know what? Tom Hanks, we found out that night.
Yes, that's right.
Tom Hanks had just come down with COVID, which was a real kind of like scary moment for everybody. We're like, if Tom Hanks can get it.
Right. That was like celebs. They're just like us. When Tom
got
it.
In the worst possible way.
Yeah. And we were like, we know it's wrong. We're gathered like five people strong here at the table. We knew it was wrong because the next day the country went into lockdown, but we still had to do our very important bonus session, which was Gwyneth versus Jennifer Aniston with Matt McConkie and Nicole Shabtai and do you for the main feed podcast, Jared. So, wow.
And you talked about Love is Blind as well.
I did.
Yes. You had turned us on to that.
It's really crazy. Like the fact that it's been a year, it feels like it's been 5 minutes and also 500 years.
Yes. And as you all know I've said it, but again, I'm going to be posting a tribute to the last person I saw besides you, Jared, which of course was Miss Dolores Catania on Watch What Happens Live, as everyone is. That's everyone's last person.
Oh.
I mean, if that was my last person, I would be
happy.
She's looking great.
I'm thrilled. Thrilled. Yeah, you know I love Dolores.
And I just want to thank you for, during this lockdown, bringing us such great content. Not that you are in charge of the content, but you have, with your Twitter feed and with you, just you will drop us a line, Casey and I, every once in a while and say, this is what you have to be watching right now. And it has been so helpful to...
Listen, we call it, you know, it's grassroots marketing. I'm going person by person, just emailing them, telling them what shows to watch. So I'm happy to help.
I feel like it's like something that rich people have that I've only heard tell of, where it's like they've got a watch guy, or like someone at Chanel is like, I've got some new pieces in, or whatever those people are. That's you for us. You're like... Bling Empire.
I mean, listen, I've got a great new show for you. If you
yes,
want it, I'll
please.
Tell you about it. Super cheap. No, I'm just, I mean, it's no.
I was like, yeah, I do. And I was like, cheap is good.
Yes. No, but I mean, I love that. We just renewed Bling Empire for season 2 yesterday. We renewed Selling Sunset for seasons 4 and 5 yesterday.
4 and 5?
4 and 5. We announced And 2 new shows. One is an all-Black version of Selling Sunset. Essentially, it takes place... Oh, and you'll love this, Danielle. It's a Florida real estate company. That's all-Black women work there.
Yes, please.
And then a show called My Orthodox Life, which is about a former ultra-Orthodox Jew who leaves the religion and becomes a very successful CEO.
Oh, so, gosh. That you literally are just making shows for me right now. Thank
you. Doing what I can. You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Oh my, and how have you been during this year?
I mean, look, you know, I'm lucky to be healthy, to have been able to do my job from home. I made a little desk at my table and, you know, I formed a small quarantine crew of my friends where we only saw each other for a very, 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 very long time, which was nice. But, you know, I'm like the rest of you. I'm going insane. I'm slowly losing my mind. I don't even know how to think about approaching society again. Mm-hmm. Like, am I going to be comfortable going to a bar? I'm not sure. I'm ready to find out, but I don't.
Yeah, when I watch TV now, well, I will say a great thing about The Housewives is that even shows like, I remember for me, Jersey over the last few years has kind of felt a little bit like a drag. Like, I'm like, okay, I have to watch this now. But I don't know if it's that they're better or something, but these shows have been like me hanging out with friends. Like, 'cause they're all sort of vacationing, whether it's on Lake George or whether they go to South Carolina in Atlanta, where it's like, right. I am desperate to see my friends, and my friends are these women. You know what I mean?
I absolutely do. I mean, I will say, I'm, this is not a knock on Bravo. I'm thrilled to have the viewing opportunities of watching them. I really don't love watching sort of like the COVID storylines playing out on the show. Like on Dallas, like I don't want to watch them joke about masks. On Atlanta, I don't want to watch them. Like, you know, I mean, I kind of loved Marlo doing her 6 feet thing. Like at first it was cute. Like that
Marlo is the only one that is taking things seriously. And I appreciate her. And
I totally understand. But like, you know, there was a million reasons OC was hard to watch this season and why I bailed on it. But one of the biggest ones was I did not want to watch Gina and Emily filming themselves with no makeup and their kids in home because they had no camera people. So I'm ready for the COVID seasons to be done. I think New Jersey is a bright light in the sense that they're clearly in COVID, but I'm not feeling it the same way.
I
don't know if that means they're being reckless.
Yes.
Like they had that first party they had for Evan's birthday. I was like, is this okay? Like, this is definitely okay. Like, it was not okay, right?
Right. What was worse than the cheating allegations of the birthday boy was honestly like, oh, you guys shouldn't be having this party, outdoor party.
No.
It was
even the one with the cornhole.
Oh, the cornhole party made me so nervous because I was like, they're all touching different cornhole pieces. Like, I was just.
I know. It was also, I'm from Jersey. And so I've been talking to my family. I mean, not much, but whenever I can't help it. And I think that they're always telling me, like, we're very open. Everything's open. And they were saying that when we in LA were like in hardcore lockdown, my parents were like sending me photos from restaurants. I'm like, don't go there.
No. I will say this, like, as much as our housewives, like, I think there is an element we want of wish fulfillment, although we end up seeing it's like the saddest wish you could ever want. But I will say you're right. Like, I don't want to see Gina with no makeup. Like, Gina with makeup is already something I'm having to swallow. And so
exactly.
I don't want that. But I will say I do like the wish fulfillment as it relates to COVID. And I just try not to think about it. Like, at Atlanta, when I saw them on that pumpkin ride, I'm like, oh God, all of it is so scary. But I just try to push COVID out of my mind and have to say to myself, I'm sure they're all fine, except we do know that Deandra from Dallas was hospitalized from COVID, but I try to just pretend it's not happening.
I feel the same.
In New Jersey this week, I was thrilled to be at Lake George. It did the only time where I got a little nervous, well, a few times, at the cornhole party, and then also at when the chefs came in and no one was wearing masks, that gave me like, all of a sudden I had like kind of just an anxiety overload where I was like, like, what's happening here? But then I calmed down, then I got okay. Like, I just have to like reset myself constantly.
Yeah.
Marge needs a very wide mask. And I know I've said it every single week, but why is her lips, her face looks like the Joker, her smile.
She got caps or new teeth, right, between seasons. Happened. And we're really suffering through sort of like the adjustment period of those.
Oh, are those the caps that are stretching her mouth out so wide?
I think so. Because, you know, that whenever someone there's, you know, it happens to celebrities or
happens to the best.
Weirdly, a lot. But also a lot on reality television. Mm. I'm a huge fan of MTV's The Challenge, which is the former Real World Road Rules Challenge, which, yes, is still on. I've still watched. I mean, we're on season 39 and I'm still watching it. But I know. It's insane.
Wow, to do 39 seasons of a show. Maybe Housewives has been on that long. I don't know. Okay.
I know. But it's like, you know, it's like my soap opera. It's like my Days of Your Lives. Because they carry on the story from season to season. But one of the things that happens is after someone comes on the challenge and maybe wins a little money, the next season they come back, they always have new teeth. And so I'm very used to the shock of like, oh, that's a whole new mouth of teeth, you know, and then slowly over time,
you are used adjusting to new teeth. To it. You've always said that. wow. Yeah, Marge, I love, but I cannot get around this wide mouth.
It's a lot. It's a lot. But I mean, I feel like she's looking good overall. Like, I feel like it's not.
Does that mouth settle? So I'm so sorry to ask.
Eventually, yeah.
Oh, we are going to head somewhere.
I think so. I mean, it's not going to be like that. I think what's, I mean, listen, I'm not a doctor, but my medical opinion.
You're a TV doctor?
That is correct, yes.
You're like McSteamy.
Like, somehow, oh, well, that's the best one you could have picked. Although, but basically, like, somehow the teeth kind of like, this sounds so gross, get reabsorbed into the body. Or
Jared!
I know. Or your lips, like, find their way over the
your
teeth.
Your lips find their way. I like to think of it as your lips find their way.
In time, I promise you it will be better.
In time. Wow.
Speaking of New Jersey, I'm going to say something. I'm over this Jackie and her husband. Is Evan so hurt? Guys, like, it's awful, and I understand that it sows a doubt, and that's not fun. But I also think, like, I don't feel that, but, like, just get the fuck over. Of course I wouldn't like that someone saying, insinuating that my husband had an affair and sowing that doubt. That would suck. But I also feel like Jackie,
well, Danielle, I've got to tell you something.
We've gathered you here
today.
Look, guys, look, I know I'm not enough for my husband's sexual appetite.
For your husband's sexual appetite. I mean, there's no swings in the world.
The three of us would not be enough, guys.
I will say, I'm with you in the sense that I don't want to watch it. I kind of just, like, I would be where Jackie is. I couldn't get over it. I think Teresa was such an asshole for doing what she so clearly intentionally did. And I'm fully on Team Jackie was making an analogy. It was so dumb of her to make that analogy. She had the moral high ground and then she put herself in this terrible position. And I will say, I never believed the rumor for a second until this week's episode when Evan ordered a Stella Artois at his party. I was like, first of all, no human being says Stella Artois when they order a drink at a bar.
They say Estella.
Correct. Even the waitress came back and said, oh, Estella. So there was something very, at that moment, I was like, oh, you're an alien in a human costume. And I fully believed you.
See, okay, now this is why I do understand where Jackie's coming from. I would be this upset because once you put something out there, you can't take it back. And now here we have you, a fucking TV journalist, someone who puts out content and we listen to, saying you now believe it. Based on him ordering a beer, these are why these rumors are so damaging. He's in finance!
But they're acting like he's running for president or something. Not that would affect him either.
No, but Danielle, Jackie's whole life and worldview, this is someone who struggled with eating disorders, is all about control and maintaining an image. So for her, this is the most devastating thing. She said that could happen. And I still blame Bravo very heavily for not getting us a camera in that house. And because they didn't, now we're like seeing aftermath of something we couldn't even empathize with because we didn't see the pitch and the level of it. So it does seem excessive, but I would feel so devastated if I thought someone said that. So I am still Team Jackie.
For sure.
But how many times can we celebrate, Evan? Just like how many times can we celebrate fucking Carrie in Dallas? Happy fucking birthday. Move on.
I just don't think they have anything else to do. They're like, we have to, like, Jackie has nothing else to focus on. The world is closed. There's no other parties they can have. But I'm with you, Casey. I'm over it.
And guys, there was no camera at that house because there was nothing to see. There was just silent tension.
That's exactly right.
There is silent tension. No. I do not believe
there was crying, screaming, fighting.
Not from him. He walked away into his office and did not
close the door and texted his girlfriend.
He was like, I'm off to the gym, babe. And then I'm getting
a Stella. Stella Artois, it's very specific. Yeah. I will say the best line last night for me was Teresa, the dumbest person ever to exist, saying Jackie was, she was talking about the topic. She goes, you know what? Jackie's beating it with a dead horse.
I know.
I'm like, that's not even, like, she's so... I would love to just try to unpack what she thinks that expression means. Because in her mind,
she learned it phonetically. She has no idea what it fucking means.
She also said at two different points, I'm just more madder now. And then she said, I would have drowned her. That's how my 3-year-old talks. Like, he calls the garage the bagrage. And I feel like that's what Teresa does. And I have a question, guys, truly. Do we need, here, I am so 50-50 on this. I will take either of your opinions. Do we need Teresa anymore? Or do we need her now more than ever?
No, we don't need her.
Oof. I say that I'm done with Teresa if it's a redemption storyline, which we've had for the last 4 years. I'm very here for Bravo deciding that Teresa is a villain again, right? Because those are two very different
Teresas. Is it Bravo
Teresas.
That's decided that, or is it Teresa's behavior that's led us to that?
Teresa thinks she's a redemption storyline, but she's not, because she does not. Right. She's a bad person and she doesn't know how to redeem herself. And so I do think that Teresa only thinks about Teresa. Her loyalty is only to Teresa. She hates her sister-in-law. She's in love with her brother.
So tense. Even when they said hi in the kitchen, she was like, I'm making coffee. She's like, hey.
I'm on edge all the time.
So on edge.
Had any conversation. Do you remember it was last week? All the girls were having that lunch and it was so cute. And they were all talking about their parenting styles and talking about sex with their daughters and all of that. And Melissa talked about Gia. And I was just I was like, oh God, here it comes. Like, Teresa's going to stab her. And then Teresa laughed. And I was like, this must be what it feels like to be in some kind of abusive relationship.
And that's
where you're constantly waiting.
Yes. And when Jen, who I really like, I can't believe I'm saying,
I feel as if
you breath of fresh air.
I love
her. Such
Jen.
A 180.
Love her husband. Such a 180. They're just easy breezy fun.
I love her kids. I love her. Yep. I love the family.
The brother. Like, love the brother.
The father who moved in because he can't
see the mother who moved out.
Let's spend more time on that story. Like, I want to know about
into
that.
Into all of it. And it kind of made me laugh the way Jen pulled her aside. She really didn't want it. She was like, I got some news. I got to tell you something. But when basically this realtor who I really want to delve more into, that gorgeous.
You mean the number one realtor in New Jersey?
She is the best realtor in New Jersey. She's going to sell
gorgeous,
this house.
Icy, scary mess of a realtor who I do think actually could give Teresa a run for her money in a way. I think something's coming. But when Melissa says, hey, someone's accusing Joe of stealing tens of thousands of dollars, and in fact, it's your realtor's husband, Teresa's like, yeah, she's a great realtor. Like, she is scary. You don't, like, would have gone, Melissa was right, she would have gone fucking nuts if that had been the reverse.
Well, this whole thing, and the thing that I like is, like, Teresa is the biggest hypocrite I feel like to have ever been on any Housewives. And that's a statement, because so many of these women are hypocrites. And I at least, appreciate Bravo continuing to show us the evidence of Teresa being a hypocrite every time she says
that. Editors hate Teresa and Ramona
hate her
possibly the most.
Oh, I mean, great. Those are two great enemies. I can align with the Bravo editors in that regard because I also hate them
both. Speaking of things we don't understand, what is, and I pose this question seriously, what is Go With Gorga?
I think it's Grow With Gorga.
Either way,
it makes no sense.
And how is Grow With Gorga generating tens? There can't even be tens of thousands of dollars to be had.
There's no way. It is a pyramid scheme on top of like a multi-level marketing.
But what are they marketing? Scheme. What are they scheming?
My guess, and I've chosen not to really do any research because frankly, I don't care.
But what I've decided
is it's a speaking engagement style thing, motivational something about how they've become so successful. But the truth of the matter is the answer to that question is get on reality television, which I don't think is an option for these poor people in New Jersey paying clearly tens of thousands of dollars to go to this convention.
I think this event is much like, you know, Monique in Potomac. It's like there's maybe 100 people there. What did they pay? $20, $30. We're in a rec room. Yeah. We're in a community center. I think the joke of all of this is not, was he paid? It's like, oh, there's not that much money was generated.
Right. Like, this is really like an ego thing for sure.
And I'm also on Team Gorga, and that whoever's there is there for Gorga. And so whatever this person did, they set up the room at the Courtyard Marriott. Like, what did they do they don't deserve money. I'm sorry. You're there for to grow with Gorga. And that's all you're there
for. And also, I'm trying to also imagine sort of like what the event description was. It's New Jersey's number one realtor interviews star of Real Housewives of New Jersey. Like, why was she there? How was she involved? Why was she get Jackie for that. Like, that's at least putting some part of her actual skill set.
Exactly. And when Teresa, one more thing, when she found out about the allegations against Grow With Gorga, she says, which is, again, the most hypocritical thing, given everything, the way she would fucking flip out when people questioned her husband. She goes, "Sometimes guys do shit we don't know about."
And Jackie had said that exact same thing because she was like, "I mean, Joe was just saying, it's fine, Tree. And I'd be like, and then I end up in jail. So that was like her. But then the season before, two seasons ago, when Jackie said, "If you could control your husband, would you be in the situation you were right now?" She's like, "Don't you dare talk about my husband." And it's like, you just said it yourself. Like,
right. Well, she should have learned then that analogies were not Teresa's friend. She doesn't even know what analogy means. But like, that was the first of many mistakes Jackie has made in dealing with this monster person.
Now, I have a question much just like the question you asked, Danielle. Like, just tell me, what is Grow With Gorga?
Yeah.
I've written down on my pad three words. Who is Lexi?
I have written on mine, too. Who is
that? Who's Lexi?
She's an assistant. Who's Lexi? She's like getting them sandwiches and coffee.
She's an assistant. So she's being paid by Marge. Is she being paid by the show? Or is Marge just like, "I'll bring Lexi. She'll take care of us."
No one on the show needs Lexi.
No. And I don't even think this is like a friend of situation. No. Like that crazy redhead in Dallas who I still don't know what her name is.
Right. Okay. Yeah. This isn't friend of, you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, like I'm saying, this is Marge's assistant. She basically said, "Hey, come on this trip with us. You will definitely take care of all the food and get everything set up and be the assistant for all of these women. But like, you can be on TV and you can like hang out with us." And the moment it really like felt the strangest to me was when Teresa got upset at that dinner last week and fled to her room and was like, you know, huffing on her bed about still talking about Jackie. And all the women came up and Lexi was standing at the door. I was like, "You're not part of this. Like,
here.
This is not for the help in this particular moment.
With your peaches and balsamic, Lexi.
Yeah.
That was like, though.
And Lexi's expression, she's always laughing a little too hard, the way like I've seen my assistants in the past have to laugh when I say something funny. And it's really sad for me when that happens. Like, it's a low point for me. And I felt like Lexi's like being paid, but not by the show. Like, she's serving a different master. And that is Marge. Yes.
And I also think Marge is probably not, I'm just saying this, probably not paying her a lot. She's getting paid in screen time, and you can go and hopefully get some time on here and get you in front of the Bravo audience.
But Danielle, she's got a book deal now, Marge.
Well, Marge has a book deal, but Lexi doesn't, and Lexi's never going to.
Well, Lexi might write the forward, and that could be a springboard to God knows
what. Believe you me, Lexi.
Jackie's
is
writing that forward.
Oh, yeah.
Or the realtor.
Lexi is there, tip-tap, typing away. Yeah. And doing it all.
And who knows if Lexi was there as another ghostwriter for another.
Oh.
Yeah.
So many. Well, here's my other question about Lexi. What's the accent happening there? Like, what's the voice she's using? Because that, I can't really get heads or tails of whatever
that is. You don't know what exit on Jersey she's from, Jared, as a Jerseyite?
I'm not even, I'm not even sure that she is American citizen. Like, she.
No. I think she's Australian or New Zealander.
What? I thought she was Jersey. Like,
No, I think
this is my point. This is what I'm saying.
I thought it was a total Jersey accent. Are you kidding me?
Oh, no.
There's something in there that's like
what?
Kiwi or Dutch or Swedish.
This is a shock to me.
There's something.
She's always like, anyone want breakfast?
I thought it was that sort of Jersey sort of laziness.
Okay, listen.
Like,
as someone from Florida, you don't get to talk about Jersey accents.
I get to talk about anything I goddamn want.
I'm telling you, as someone from New Jersey, I could not place any part of that. And I'm so confused. So confused. I was like, maybe she's from Florida. I don't know.
Anything else for New Jersey? I'm on board. I'm pissed about last week really quick. I feel like they don't have anything this season, so they're forcing us. Right. And I hate when they play with us like this, where they're like, this is serious. We think Melissa's cheating on Joe and it's a fucking prank. Don't make me tune in for a prank. Now, I get paid to tune in, so I'm okay with that. But for the rest of you, I don't like that for you.
Well, I agree with you 100%. When I was watching with my best friend, and when that happened, I was like, really? But in the trailer for the season, it's clear to me that stuff does go down with Joe and Teresa. Like, there's that big, he's like screaming at her about Melissa. And I'm worried. I feel like for me, there's never been anything darker in the history of Bravo than that, like, two seasons when Melissa and Joe were on and they were fighting with Joe and Teresa.
Yeah.
And, like, remember he, like, charged at her at that weird chalet in upstate New York?
All of his hair dyed all over his face.
Yes. And I, like, live in fear of the show going back to that darkness because it almost made me abandon New Jersey, the franchise. Well, the state. That's when I moved to California, too. but, you know, I'm so worried that this clearly fraught, barely hanging on by a thread relationship between these two women is going to explode at any moment.
And then you add in Joe Giudice is now saying shit about Joe Gorga all over the news. They do not have the parents anymore to bring us together for sausage and peppers and pasta fagul. And so now what do we have? I think that relationship will split for good.
But you do have that one thing of Teresa might feel like this is my only living family member. I have to do right by him. But she may also feel like
Jared,
she's a selfish
she's
piece of shit.
She's never going to feel that.
I know. Listen, this is me trying to maintain some semblance of sanity. But yeah, you're right.
Yes. As I said to you at the top, like the one thing that's keeping me with Jersey is the lightness right now. Because what I need is like fun ladies hanging out. And Dolores is delivering that.
Dolores did say something that really sums me up as a human the other day when they were all like lying down by the pool and someone was getting in like a kayak and Dolores just goes, do I feel the need to do something active? I do not. Thank you, Dolores. I do not.
Should we actually talk about Salt Lake because we didn't get to discuss the reunion? Should we take a little break and then come back and discuss Salt Lake? We're back with Salt Lake. Just a little, because we weren't here for the third part of the reunion. So anyone just want to like touch on what we found?
Well, Danielle, someone sent us from a Twitter account. I believe it's called Reality Von Tees. I hope I'm getting that right. You know, someone from the Shaw team has released a very like abusive video of Jen yelling at her team. At first I was like, is this real? Because she's so over the top, but that is kind of how she is. But then she screams at an assistant, then she throws her phone at the wall, then she storms out, then coach comes in and he's like, are you okay, to the person? And so it did feel very real.
Yeah.
And this was before the reunion, and she keeps screaming about, like, this is reunion week! Like, nobody fucking bothers me during reunion week.
Like, it's goddamn shark week. I love it.
She's a piece of shit. I'm sorry.
The fact that he has to manage her so much.
I want him to be free. Freedom for Coach Shaw.
I kind of do too. But that scene, I mean, we're not even talking about the reunion at this point, but that scene when she was like really breaking down and she was telling him like, you missed dad's funeral, and they're on the bed, and he's like, it was so tender and loving on his part that I think there is real love there. I just think maybe we're catching their marriage in a moment when it's at its worst, and he knows that like there was good there before. I don't know. I think that he is a gem, and I do not get why he and anyone on the Shah squad exposes themselves voluntarily to this Tasmanian devil of like an emotional breakdown.
Well, I think he does love her, and I think she does love him, but I think she's an abusive person who can't control her temper. And I speak as someone who's dealt with some of these issues, like, she's out of control. She's completely out of control, and she is abusive to people. And I just feel like, honestly, like, he doesn't need that in his life. He's too, I don't want to say too good for her, but I don't want that for him.
I also feel like when you are in the rare position of having that much money, mm-hmm. you owe it to yourself and the people that you work for to get some medical help for any sort of...
Oh my God, Danielle, sorry. So let me get this straight. Yeah. If you're rich, you owe it to your staff to get medical help.
Yeah.
Yes.
I
thought you were going to say she owes it to Coach.
No, she owes it to her staff.
The Shah Squad deserves.
As a person who has worked in that field of like in the service industry for so long, that I just feel like you owe it to your staff to be a better person. I'm not saying you have to be perfect. I'm saying you have to like get medical intervention, like get talk therapy,
I know, as an assistant for 2 years for a woman who was abusive, and I do take her down pretty hard in my book. I change her name barely. They're like, I think we should change this further. I'm like, we're good. And this woman, she would throw quarters at my head to get my attention if she was on the phone.
Oh,
and she would make me, this part wasn't abusive. This part was just insane. Like, she would go to Equinox and run on the treadmill and make me call her. And she'd put me on speaker, like, on, and just like be like, you can do this. You look thin. You're great. You're like, this woman was fucking nuts. But I do feel like she owed it to me, Danielle. She was rich.
She does.
She did owe it to me to get help.
To get your shit together.
And I really thought to me one time, I go, I'm going to get her good one day.
And you are. You're going to get her good, even though no one will know who she is. But it's just, I just feel like there's no excuse for that. You have been blessed.
She needs to be on major medication.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Believe me, we talk about it all the time. Casey and I are medicated.
I'm like tranquilized right now.
I'm medicated to the hilt. I couldn't have gotten through.
I can barely see you guys. Yeah.
Guess who likes me? The one person that works for me.
Yeah. Guys, here's who I thought was such a touching exchange. And I know Andy was so clearly touched too, was with Coach and Grandpa.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was really nice.
Ugh, that poor man.
I do not feel sorry for Grandpa. I don't feel sorry for Grandpa.
I feel sorry for him in the sense that I think his dirty laundry has been exposed to the world in a way he never wanted it to be. I don't feel sorry about the fact that he allowed himself to take his wife's granddaughter's hand in marriage and then have like bear children with her after she died.
Weird. It's real creepy. Yeah. It's real
really,
bad.
It's
guys,
really
I liked him and I thought he was really sweet and down to earth, genuinely. And I really liked that makeup. Like, I will say that made sense to me. Like, I do think, as much as I just like talked about Jen, I do also have a little soft spot for her, and I felt like her and Mary, that was kind of sweet. Although Mary really had me laughing the way she kept turning around to the screen and clamping down on her husband. It's like, I am with my husband at a party. I'm like, no, they don't know about that. Stop embarrassing me.
I will say, like, I felt like Mary had to come into the reunion and like prove her worth to be like to come back, I think, right? Because I think
they had her in the closet the whole time. I mean, that's not on her.
Well, but I think you guys have talked about this, but like, she wasn't a full-time housewife, and then they came back and reshot the show, and then she was. But I feel like, you know, what was she really giving us besides like insanity? And I felt like she actually really showed up to the reunion and gave us great moments, tons of comedy, a great look, and I think a little bit of a glimpse into what Mary season 2 would be like. I think my worry about Mary
is that she's very problematic as well.
Yes, exactly.
Those are some problems.
Look, we've all got concerns with all of them. You know?
Listen, we all have our things. Yeah. That's her thing.
Yeah.
Like, she clearly was raised in a cult, has a stunted adolescence, has been put into this, I mean, child bride situation. She was, what, 16? And so I worry that she's too fragile. And it's almost like when you watch a housewife pick on a less capable housewife. You just feel bad that it's happening. You can't enjoy it. And I worry that that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I feel that about Mary too. Like, as problematic and challenging as she is, I do also feel so badly for the way she was clearly raised in an abusive environment. I mean, there's a lot going on there with Mary. And not the least of which is that she thought that what was falling from the sky was fake snow, that she could eat it.
I think she thought it was real snow for a second.
She did.
Yeah. She was like, I love snow. I love to eat snow.
And look, she's in from Utah. So she's had all those opportunities. So I think it just triggered her. Like when she saw the fake snow coming down, she's like,
It was Pavlovian for her.
Most likely, was it probably asbestos? Probably. Yeah, and that's absolutely. A tough
Watching
thing
her try to grab that fake snow in her tongue like a little lizard, I would never laugh so hard. I was screaming. I was just, it's so good.
Falling asleep in the middle of a reunion.
Did she fall asleep or was she just sort of having like a schism?
No, I think she rested those eyes. She pulled a real Ramona, rested those eyes. It's a long day.
Yeah, she's like, this conversation isn't about me.
They're hot lights.
Right. But she kind of picked herself up pretty quick, I felt.
She would have moments of lucidity that were like, oh, you're there. You're
This is why I feel badly for her, though, a little. It's like moments of lucidity mixed with just like...
blank stare, deer in headlights, nothing behind them, kind of thing.
Yes.
And let's talk about our favorite housewife who we love, but do we think that she's gone off the rails in terms of like people are saying that she is, you know, full of her own stuff now because like Rihanna, you know.
Oh, you're talking about Heather?
Our favorite housewife. I assumed we were all on the same page.
Yeah. I was so all on Heather's side until that footage of Heather and Lisa fighting during the commercial break when she would not stop going at her. And I was like, ooh, this is not a great look on you. I will say, I think Heather was, this is so rude. I think Heather was brought to that point by Lisa over like weeks and weeks. And so I get it. Like that was Heather getting it all out. But it wasn't a great look. That said, Lisa is a lunatic. And I will always take Heather's side over Lisa's side. I will always be team Heather, Whitney, tornado, swirling weather, whatever that stupid thing she said was, I'll always be there.
So I will say, you know, we've all been like, oh, there's something so much deeper. Heather's being triggered about like her childhood past and being left out and all this going on with her and Lisa. But what I saw in Reunion Part 3, and I was the one, I said, I think Heather's too big for her britches in Parts 1 and 2. In 3, and I thought it was insane when she was like, you don't validate my divorce, but you validate Meredith's. Like, that was insane. It's like Lisa and Meredith are good friends. What I'm seeing at the real root of the issue is the church. Lisa loves the church. Mm-hmm. Heather has felt shunned by it. Yes. It is not that it's so like Lisa is standing in for the church. Here's Heather feeling left out. It's not just like that's what's being triggered there because that to me. And then finally, Lisa said there's a lot going on here with the church. I disagree. And so I think sort of that's the issue because like to Heather, it's like Lisa's standing in for this thing that has oppressed me. Mm-hmm. And she's being left out of the church and she's now putting all that on Lisa. So I understood that more clearly. It felt a little less insane. It felt like I knew where it was coming from a little more.
And I will also say that I had no idea, like as a person who's not religious at all, I underestimated the pull the church has on these people and how big it looms in their life, even when they've left it.
Yes, when Whitney's husband was crying, I was crying. He's a sweetheart.
I thought that relationship was the creepiest thing in the world. Episode 1, season 1, by the finale, I was like, he's kind of hot. Like, I have such a weird, like, 180 on him. Like, I love their marriage. I think it's really sweet. The way she's like, when she's like, he left the church for me. I have to make sure I, every day, make him feel good about that decision. Like, there was something very touching about their relationship and how much they love each other and how much they've given up for each other, but also how much they make good on that with each other.
And to see how painful that was to him.
Oh, yeah.
Just touched me.
I'm going to say something, and it might be controversial, but I will say this, that any religion, any operation, any person that makes you feel this bad about yourself is not good. It is damaging. It is toxic.
Any form of extreme religion that marginalizes and leaves people out, and I, of course, include Mary's church in this, is wrong. I couldn't be more spiritual, but there's just something like for an organization to write him a letter and say, like, you're out and passing judgment on him, the pain that it caused him, that's so sad.
And for a church not to rally around someone like Heather, who was going through something horrible, like her marriage broke apart, for them not to hold her up.
To be like your emotional bedrock and your spiritual center and community. And that can fuck with you so bad. Like, clearly Heather is in its grips. You know, I think Heather is not quite as detached from the church emotionally as she wants to be and as she thinks she is even, which is sad. And Whitney's dad.
Oh, my God. The dad. I'm so upset about that.
So upset.
How did that happen? Like, it's just, it was so good.
It happens in every, like, if you've watched any episodes of, whatchamacallit, whatever.
Like Intervention?
Yes.
Yeah,
which
I
used
know.
To watch all the time. Then it got too hard for me because it never, it just,
it never goes well. I know.
I didn't want this to happen, but
I know. You felt it coming.
Well, I did want to hand out an Emmy. Like, I wish I could have been in the wings and just like walked it out to Andy when he did the most seamless subject change I've ever seen him do. Wildly inappropriate subject change that worked. He landed the plane when Whitney's hysterically crying about her father and we don't know where he is. And Andy says, oh, I can say it. He goes, well, we're all, and he said it completely genuinely, we're all rooting for your father. We've been getting a lot of comments about his hair. But the way he was able to hold those truths at once and nothing was disingenuous. It was just tilted in a new direction. Beautiful.
He had some great
A real Sully Sullenberger.
Just beautiful. Yeah, he landed it.
Landed the plane on the ice, the miracle in the Hudson, beautifully.
The birds flew up from the water. It was beautiful.
Beautiful.
Because those are both things that we feel. We hope he's okay. And we had questions about his hair.
Yeah.
And that doesn't change.
No.
Those questions remain.
That's right.
But I do. I love him. And I am wishing him so the best in my heart. Like, that really made me. I was in tears.
It was sad.
It was sad. Oh, guys, try to fucking tell me you think Evan is hotter than Seth. And I will walk out of this Zoom. I've thrown my back out. As you know, I'm in bed, so I can't walk out, but I'll shut the computer. Evan, in that third part reunion with that hoodie and that weird office with that cord dangling down behind him, gorgeous.
Guys, Evan is hotter than Seth.
Oh my God, that sweaty cheater.
Just He's kidding. Not a cheater. Are you kidding. On this now, too?
No, I don't
just
think
just because he ordered a Stella Artois?
He's too whipped by Jackie to cheat. That's what should have been said here.
I don't care for, I mean, I got to say, Evan over Seth. Seth is just so, although I will say, I was turned on by Seth like earlier when like him and Meredith got back together and he was like all sexy all the time and every room he came into he had like a glass of red wine and he's like, should we fuck now?
Yeah, but, I mean, like, he's an alcoholic, Jared, but yes.
Well, I mean, I would be if I were married to her too, to be honest.
Oh, she's the worst. I wanted to scream. Oof. I wanted to go through the screen and shake her when she goes, why would I talk about my marriage with anyone sitting here? And I want to go, bitch, because you're on a reality show.
That's the thing that drove me insane. I was like, either come to work or leave the job. Like, yes. I don't really get this whole thing when their wives are like, we're not talking about that. Like, I can get on board with, we're not talking about the kids. That's fine. But everything else is fair.
I think Meredith the kids is on sort of, thin ice. I think she better bring it next season or she's gone.
I think
we're not
she could
saying
be
bring
off.
Drama. We're saying bring honesty, bring truth. Yeah.
Send her and that's
what is she expecting? She acted like, okay, you know when people reveal each other's shit on, like, even with Kenya, for instance, and we'll get to it, but like what she's up to, like trying to insinuate Portia was with Bolo. Portia's pissed, but she also knows in the back of her mind, like, this is the game. If I do something on TV, it's going to come out. And I'm still mad about it. Meredith is acting like there's some code that all the housewives have followed. She's like, for you, Jen, to bring up the fact that there might be divorce allegations. It's like, say what you will, but Jen's just trying to bring the ball down the field on this show. Like, it's actually not that insane for what we've seen. Like, Meredith, you're too delicate for this, sweetie. Mm-hmm. Get out of here and get your tracksuits and go.
Get your tracksuits.
She's too closed off for it. But I agree with what you're saying, Casey, about the Kenya Portia thing, because I think Kenya's point is you're mad about that I'm talking about something that was filmed for a television show when, like, she's like, you know, they're going to air this. I think maybe like Portia's whole thing was like, we intentionally turned the cameras off. We had a conversation with Candy. And I think had Kenya been participating and then still done this, it would be one thing. But I think Portia's thing is that Kenya's acting like, oh, I'm above what you guys did. I'm above all. I was upstairs with my child.
Oh, when she came out with, I guess we're talking about Atlanta now. So let's just talk about Atlanta. But when she, like, it was like, when there's judgment, then the gloves are off. Because how dare you brought your child to a girls' weekend, fine. But then don't get mad when we have
you didn't let anyone else bring their kids.
Right.
So don't get on your high horse about your fucking child being upstairs when you, like, this was what this was for. What are you talking about?
But, and, like, not to be, like, Team Mark, but like if I were Mark and I was seeing this and I wanted custody of my child, couldn't I use the fact that my wife brought our child to a bachelorette party where there was a stripper and lots of sex happening downstairs as a potential argument for
well,
that?
Guess
like,
what? Isn't that some... Mark wants money.
Mark wants money.
Oh, Mark doesn't want that child.
No.
Oh, no. Mark I know. But I'm just saying, like, yeah. If Kenya's going to be high and mighty about that, it's like what you did was also kind of bad if we're putting things on the same level, although none of it was bad.
I can't mom shame her. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying what I don't like about Kenya is like nobody actually would have had a problem that she had the baby there
and that
these women were having their fun. Everyone thinks Kenya's a good mom, but Kenya... does exactly what you're saying. She twists everything so that she's on her high horse no matter what.
Right.
And guys, you know, I've been on Team Kenya for years. I'm done.
Wow.
It's hard right now.
I'm done.
Drew, who I'm loving this new energy from her since the bachelorette party. I'm liking what she's been bringing for the last couple of weeks.
Where has this been? We need it, Drew.
Well, listen, she was in a boot. She was moving. She was doing with her husband stuff.
We couldn't see her booty clap when she had her boot on, you know?
Exactly. Which is ironic. You can't spell booty without boot. But like the point is that Drew was so right when she said there's been sad energy radiating off Kenya all season. And it's true. Like everything about Kenya this season is so heavy and sad. And even these like fun moments when she's like laughing and kikiing, it still has an undercurrent of depression.
Dark. Also a little bit still delusional.
Completely.
Like because like even when she's talking to her father and he's like, yeah, we've made it. He and his wife were celebrating their anniversary like 30 some odd years. And she's like, well, we've made three. And he's like what? Yeah. No.
But you haven't.
You've been separated for half of that. Like, why even bring that up? Like, I think she still wants this illusion of the perfect family.
I felt it was so sad when she went in to meet with her lawyer. Ugh. Sidebar, I'm like, could they date? I love that lawyer. He's so sweet and fun. But what I feel like with Kenya, that was so sad when she came in. Yeah. And she's like, oh, my God, Mark has been texting me all these love songs and he wants me back. And the lawyer's like, Mark just served you. And is filing divorce. And he'd like alimony. And Kenya's like, OK.
It was a dark moment. That was like when you go to your friends, like, you guys, I met the cutest boy. And they're like, you mean that married man who's literally making out with his girlfriend right now? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's just,
that
it was so like
that
rug
pull. Had to deliver that news to her.
That was,
but he was straightforward. He wasn't like,
he did a good job.
He just had to do his job, which is like.
He like rolled with her in the first moment. Like he was like, oh, cute. And then he was like, unfortunately, Mark is coming for all your money. Okay. But guys, how weird was it? And not weird, just like Kenya's all over the place when she's doing her photo shoot and Toya comes to bring her a cake. And Kenya tells Toya the reason she was upset that Toya hadn't defended her during multiple allegations of no crab cakes at a dinner was simply because Kenya has a crush on Toya. Now, we knew it. I just didn't think we were going to hear it so baldly. Was that Kenya being genuine? It kind of seemed genuine. Like she was like, you're my friend. We flirt. Like you give me attention.
I think that's kind of what it was. I mean, you know, it's kind of like you're my person. Like you're my ally. Like you're on my team.
Like I thought if you were going to eat anyone out, it would have been me.
And you know, she thought about it.
Yeah.
I have to say, I can't think of a housewife edition in the last couple of years that I've loved as much as I've loved Toya joining Atlanta. I find her to be so fun, so interesting, so game for
beautiful.
the game of housewives.
Staring
stunning.
At her face.
Stunning.
Like, I'm like, this is a gorgeous one. Like she's stunning.
And I was nervous that she was going to tie herself too closely to Kenya. So during the batch, when she turned on Kenya and she was like, oh, now I'm seeing what all these girls are talking about. I'm loving Toya, like totally reading the room and continuing to sort of evolve her opinions and not just be blindly loyal. She, to me, is someone who deserves to get a peach next
time. Totally.
Season.
Drew and Toya, the way that they're enough, they don't like each other, but they joke about it really makes me laugh. And even though they're joking, they still don't like each other. Like I was dying. Yeah. Drew just says to Toya as they're getting off a hayride, Drew says to Toya, I've never seen you sober. Toya says, and I've never seen you have a cute wig. And then they're just like, But it's definitely, I love when Portia's like always defending Drew's wigs. She's like, it was laid right last week and it's laid right now. Drew's always like, thank you.
I have to say, I have a bold statement to make. Okay. I don't know, or it may not be bold. I think it's time for the aunties to leave Real Housewives of Atlanta. I don't think we have any need for Cynthia anymore. I'm sorry. Listen, I love Cynthia. She's probably still to this day one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. She gives us nothing. I mean, I'm not interested in this stupid wedding that shouldn't be happening in the middle of a pandemic. I don't care.
I'm ready to let Cynthia go. And you're right, Jared. I didn't see it until I saw the new blood, your Drews and your Toyas.
Right?
Like, and the energy.
Think about what the show would be like if it's Portia, it's Drew, it's Toya.
I want Marlo still. I want Marlo.
But Marlo is fun as fuck. I mean, oh. Marlo is a good time all the time.
Marlo in that Gucci cape cut up to here with no shorts on and those tight high boots. I'm so attracted to Marlo and her body. I was like, wow.
I love
Marlo. I mean, she makes something out of
nothing. That Marlo's like pumpkin run or whatever.
That was the first party they've ever let Marlo throw, except for her, of course, her beauty line or whatever that Kenya came
Kenya
in with.
Kenya Moore hair care. Kenya Moore hair care forever.
That was so fun. And then Portia getting lost, going an hour the other direction, showing up at the
And then you've got like them just Drew and Marlo and staying just be like,
driving.
We don't want her to arrive to no one.
She's
so they just stayed for 30 minutes of a conversation.
The dark Georgia night.
And it's like, I love that they laid in the GPS sounds. Thank you. And she got out so ready for that hayride. And yet
I mean,
it was pitch black.
She looked amazing. Portia has like never looked better. When she came out in that like liquid leather, like bustier
she's
and skirt,
stunning.
I was like,
yeah.
I mean, she's unbelievable. I love Portia. I mean, I know you guys are say this all the time, but one of like the funniest women I've ever seen on television. So smart. I'm loving everything she's going through right now with her social justice and really coming into her own. I'm very curious about the scene from next week's episode
with Dennis.
Where her and Dennis are having that conversation. And she's like, if it wasn't for PJ, you would be over me and I would be over you. And there's no reason for us to keep putting each other through this. And I love that because I agree.
She's the best. Wow.
She's
I love the discussion that went on about prenups. There were such wild things happening.
How?
Okay, where they're like, Cynthia needs to get a prenup. Cynthia's like, I'm getting a postnup. And then when Marlo's like, Cynthia needs to channel some Mama Joyce energy. And we flash to Mama Joyce, who you know I think has jumped the shark. But it did make me laugh when she said, Candy, you need a prenup. I don't want you to be able to choke on a chicken bone and then Todd can come and move me out of my house.
I mean,
And then Kenya, someone was like, and Candy's like, and now look at Kenya. She didn't get a prenup. Look at how she's suffering, you know, with everything going on with Mark. And then Kenya, this is where I really have turned on Kenya, manages to still remain smug, telling other women to get a prenup, having not gotten one herself. She goes, I keep telling people, get a prenup. No, I didn't do it, but others need to. Kenya!
I know.
Oh, I can't believe why these women do not get prenups. Like, it is...
But could you get one, Danielle? Do you think you ever would get one in today's world?
I mean, I don't have candy money, so... But Matt and I have been together so long that what's his is mine and mine is his, and, like, we have both built each other up from the ground.
Okay,
so.
But let's say you're marrying someone today, got a ton of money, would you get one?
Yes, for sure. For definite sure. For the protection of my child, like I would just be like, and I don't know what's going to happen. I would definitely get one. Definitely. Because I'd be like, what's your problem?
Right. Like that's always the thing. It's like, well, why don't, like the argument's always like, well, why don't you want to get one? How do you defend not like if someone asks you?
Right, because they're like,
because
I'm hoping for the best here.
I'm hoping for the best too, but I'm also realistic.
Planning for the worst.
I'm always planning for the worst. Like I have, you know, like, hurricane shutters and there's no hurricanes in California. Like I'm always planning for the worst.
I'm always like, it'll work out.
And I'm just like, listen, just leave nothing behind and it doesn't matter what happens.
You know?
I'm
at Shopaholics.
I am looking for escape routes. As I always tell Casey, I'm always looking for like, if God forbid there's another goddamn Holocaust, who will hide me? Like, where will I run? Where will I go? Like, I am planning for the worst. It is in my body. So I have no problem with the prenup, even though
I know
I'm
Danielle does
best.
Ask many friends if they would hide her. It's awkward.
Well, I mean, it's good. I mean, you just want to know. You want to know. You got to have like a home base
right.
in every
Jessica
part
St.
of the
Clair
town.
Said she'd hide you, but she lives in Santa Monica. How are you going to get there if you're like
That's
in a cloak of night?
No, I feel like Morgan Walsh is my only.
You could come here, but you know, I've got Jewish kids. So I'll be playing both sides of the line.
Oh, my God.
This is a super dark, fucked up conversation, but it is something I can't help it. When you've
known
about
the Holocaust,
it's baked into my DNA.
And we've also been thinking about it a lot over the last 4 years, right? As we approach like white nationalism becoming a recognized religion.
Absolutely. Apparently, it's actually not a crazy conversation, unfortunately, in the way this world is headed and what's being continually exposed that was right under the surface.
Should we take a break and then head to Dallas?
And then head on down to Texas. We're back.
Guys, Dallas. Brandi Redmond can leave the show, and I never care about her fucking again.
And she is leaving because she's got to take care of Braylon, her new daughter.
Oh, my God.
First of all, it's too many children for her. She's like,
she needs to focus on her. We don't need more horribly named children like Braylon.
No.
I recognize that we're watching a show about Dallas, and so there's going to be a lot of differences between the way I view the world and they view the world, and there always has
been. And in many ways, that's why we're watching these shows.
For sure.
To see where all these fucking monstrous women are coming from.
Absolutely.
However,
this season, it's a bridge too far for me. I think what sucks is, I think Tiffany Moon is a bright light. I love her. I think she's a great housewife. I think she's got her own shit, but like, she's working through it. I think to have Tiffany be like forced into this never-ending conversation about race, where her job is essentially to placate this racist and make her feel better about herself, is both a disservice to Tiffany, to Asian Americans, and to the viewers. Because the truth is, I want to know why Brandi got to stay on the show and Leanne didn't, when essentially they did the same thing. Is it because Brandi is contrite and Leanne was not? I don't know. But I think Brandi,
was it because Leanne's behavior happened on the show and Brandi's didn't?
That's a great question. I don't know.
You know, it's interesting. Andy has said in certain instances, like, he likes to see things be worked out on camera, right, as opposed to just like shunning people to the far corners.
Yeah. It seemed that we did see that at the beginning, which is Brandi talking to Tiffany and Tiffany being so gracious to have this conversation when she didn't have to. But then when Brandi forces her again to take it on when it is not
It's not her burden.
It's not Tiffany's burden.
And so
that's why it was like, this is something you're struggling with, your guilt, your transformation. But don't put it on Tiffany. And that's even what the other women said. I was
even Stephanie was like, it's not how you wanted it to come out, girl.
And I appreciated that. But the other thing too, it's like, well, maybe do that in the moment so Tiffany doesn't feel so alone.
Totally,
right? If you all think this, then be like, hey Brandi, like, I know what you're trying to say, but it's coming like in the moment. So Tiffany's not sitting there and it's like, you're funny as hell. You're a good dancer. You're a good mom. What do you think about me? And Brandi's like, I don't really know how to be around you without saying racist things. And it's like, well, that's about you. That is nothing.
Yeah. She's like, you're cramping my style, girl.
That's exactly right. She's like, I don't know. I can't be like my fun, careless, racist
self.
And it's like, well, that's bad too. Like, that's the whole point of this. And like, clearly you've got more work to do.
And even if that's what's in your mind, don't put it on Tiffany. That's not Tiffany's problem.
Exactly.
Song. That's your stuff.
And
in therapy, in the world, again, you owe it to the community, to your staff, to everybody to get.
Right. To her staff mainly. Well, I think Brandi is just such a dim, selfish kind of
unevolved
human. Yeah.
Yeah.
And why did it take 27 people to tell her that after she apparently had done so much learning and delving into this issue? Like,
I mean, she wrote herself a letter. That was very sweet. And and that's the thing too about the show. It's like, when I see her getting upset about it, I know she cares, but she doesn't have the tools to understand how her care isn't enough.
Yes, I had very little patience this second time around.
Yeah, find the tools.
Oh, for sure.
Find the tools.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, you clearly care. But it's my worry. I will say, like, this is more of a broad statement, but like, I watch what's happening to Tiffany this season, and I worry about what this means for other franchises when you introduce a non-white cast member into an all-white cast. Like, is there going to be this continued burden of oppression that has to be faced? You know, I think about Crystal joining Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We saw Garcelle last season not really mesh in a way that she, to some degree, chalks up to different life experiences and different backgrounds and not understanding sort of the Black experience. And then I think about Ebony joining Real Housewives of New York. I mean, Sonia and Ramona around Ebony, like, I'm terrified about, like, what that's going to be like. And there's even some rumor that Heather Thompson stopped filming after getting into a fight with Ebony. So it's like, I don't really know how these shows sort of do what they should do and have done a long time ago without this continuing to happen.
Certainly not speaking for him, but I think on some level, nothing to do with who's been fired and who hasn't, but I think like those conversations do need to be had. So, and they are happening a bit, but some of them are just so disappointing.
Yeah.
Like with Brandy, that just felt really disappointing. And Brandy is leaving the show, and I think that's best. You know, she announced she's out, and she said she really wants to spend more time with God.
Right.
Is that maybe one of her five children, not God?
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm sure Brandy's God is telling her she's all good.
God's busy, though, guys. God's got a pandemic to deal with. He doesn't got time for Brandy.
A lot going on. Yeah, a lot going on. Like, he's not spending a lot of time in Dallas.
He's not tech avail right now. He is not tech avail.
I was crying when Tiffany was like packing up her stuff. It felt so bad for her. And I really have a love for Tiffany. Obviously with what she's facing with the woman, but also just that, you know, the girl who feels left out, who feels like her parents want her to be something, like all of those themes I completely identify and empathize with. Do I want slightly less emphasis on Tiffany and her work? Like, yes, I feel like the show is sort of like we've plunged into Tiffany's like work world and like a meeting with her boss. Like I could use a little more Cam on the side. Also a very dim person who said something really pretty shocking. That made me laugh. You know, everybody's going through things. Tiffany's feeling alienated and in kind of on her own. And Cameron's also going through things. She said, someone said, are you moving? And she said, oh, girl, I don't know. Do I move? Do I not move? Do I buy more furniture? Do I not? That is the drama that I'm dealing with every day.
I loved when Dee was talking to Deandra about the whole thing. And she was like, well, and Deandra even said to her just that. She's like, Mom, we've all got a lot going on. She's like, no, none of you have things going on. Tiffany works. The rest of you guys sit at home buying Barbie clothes.
I was like, Mama D hates Deandra. Okay. She posted something on Instagram this week.
Oh, yeah.
She does this all the time where she's just always talking about how
you
much
you always clock this, Danielle.
I clock it every time. She posts something. It's always like something sweet about her dog or something like, I'm out for dinner with family. Deandra ate too much. And so, like, it's always like that. So this week she posts like the dog, her new dog with like Sweetie Pie or whatever is in the, it gets in the pantry and she's like, Sweetie Pie's looking for food, just like Deandra. Like never fucking. Like, cannot leave her poor fucking daughter alone.
She cannot help herself.
She hates her
so much. She hates her so much. No, when Dee was sitting there on the couch in that red outfit and those little curls, didn't she look like a young Dolly Parton to you almost? Like a Jolene era. Like she looks so, I don't know. I don't think this is Hard Night, Good Morning. But it just made me laugh so hard that Deandra just always tries from the same place to have a little conversation with her mom about just like the crazy antics of my friends. And then within 2 seconds, Dee has found a way to slam Deandra.
Oh, absolutely.
She's like, you wouldn't know what work is. Tiffany does. She's saving lives. And Deandra, poor Deandra, who I am kind of warming to a bit.
Me too.
She said something this season when she was talking to Tiffany. She goes, I was never going to achieve as much as you. Like, it's just like to Tiffany, it was like just a sweet, like self-recognizing moment of like, I was never going to be you know, like, so.
And it does seem we're headed for something a bit darker in the what's coming up between Dee and Deandra, where we see Deandra have about 37 drinks and screaming. And then we see Dee like walking around a corner looking so ominous and scary. I'm scared.
Honestly, I'm here for that. I feel like, you know, it's interesting. Like I there are, like I was saying before about Teresa and Joe, there are like familial relationships. I'm invested in them not fracturing. I don't care if Deandra and her mother continue to fracture because I'm not invested in it the same way. I also feel like it's
broken. I'm invested in their fracturing. That's
yes,
what I want to
see. Yes, we're on the same page.
I love that Mama D's, and it did make me laugh that Deandra pointed out, she's like, my mom can't have a conversation. She's so defensive because she thinks everyone's jealous of her. She's just always like, it's jealousy.
Jealous.
So they're jealous.
Jealous
of me. Tiffany's young, but she'll get there. They're jealous.
They're jealous. Now, can we also talk about the biggest revelation of the entire season and the entire...
Here we go.
Is that Deandra Shaman?
Oh,
was Darren. Initially
Darren
was her hairdresser, and that was never spoken of until this week.
I was
a shock,
crying, laughing when Stephanie was like, "You know, Darren," because she's so sweet. She's like, "Darren also has done my extensions for many years." As Darren is like, you know, saging a room with that insanely long ponytail, and I'm like, "Is that an extension?" And they're showing all these photos of Stephanie and her extensions. It did make me laugh that every single woman tried to do their own like pun about it. We had like 27 of them. Stephanie's like, he's touched my hair, but I don't need him to touch my spirit. And Tiffany's like, he's touched my chakra, but not my lashes. Like everyone did one. Apparently he's a makeup artist too.
I loved the moment when he was like having that, he was trying to be very spiritual with DeAndre and playing that song. And she goes, what does that mean? And he's like,
he had to
Google it. I'm like, what are you doing? You are such a fraud. I love you. Never leave the show.
Yeah, he's like, here's my chanting. I laid down my chanting on a track. And the editors, when they put that music on where he couldn't figure out what it meant.
It was like that. But that is the thing that also keeps me from fully investing in DeAndra, is that she's such like a snake oil salesman believer that I find it very frustrating, because she's always looking for a quick fix or thinks that, oh, my life is a mess, let me get a shaman, that'll help. It's like very like grown up rich girl solutions to real problems.
It's so sad. And actually, I think Darren would be better served on her extensions.
Yes.
In that,
DeAndra's extensions are tough.
They're tough.
Maybe she doesn't want to mix, you know, work and pleasure, business and work, but
do you think that was hard for Darren? Do you think that was like hard for him to show up in his like shaman mentality and then see her hair and be like, oh God, I really want to fix that, but I can't.
DeAndra's extensions are just pieces of Darren's hair.
I mean, like, if you
like
prove they're not,
on to DeAndra.
And when Darren said, this is Jeanette, my assistant. why does he have Jeanette, an assistant, there?
I mean,
when I saw Tiffany arrive, you know, she had left early. The girls are so punishing of Tiffany because, she had a bad moment. She left early. She felt she was trying to be fun. I've been there where you just suddenly feel lonely. You miss your kids. You want to go home. She felt like she'd been trying to be fun. It didn't work. And then she still gets punished. Carrie's like, why won't you leave so early? Like, I fucking hate Carrie. You know, I do. She's my least favorite housewife. But she goes over and like punishes her for leaving early after you've seen her just be left out. Why couldn't anyone just be like, we understand you left. Like, you were feeling bad. But then on the flip, Tiffany brings all these goodie bags and is giving everyone presents. And I'm like, you don't need to do that. You're giving these women power. Over you, in a way.
Yeah.
It's extremely try hard in a way that sort of always makes it, you feel the inequality in the friendship, right? Like all the time.
And I blame the women for that. Not absolutely. Tiffany. It just made me feel sad that she felt like she had to bring all these gift bags, you know?
And she felt bad for leaving. When people leave all the time, it's not a new thing. They should have called her.
Yes, everyone was like, we were super mean to this girl. And then she left in the morning and didn't say goodbye to us.
And then Carrie was like, and it was my birthday. It's like, your birthday has been for 10 years. Like, this is not your birthday.
Yes, anymore. Her birthday is as long as the Berkshire's trips. I mean, it was just endless celebrating this woman who has one neon green T-shirt.
Honestly. And I just like, how, if you know someone doesn't swim, how have you thrown her into three bodies of water? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so rude.
And then you want her to apologize. You're right. Three.
You put her in this really vulnerable place with Brandy. So already, and then you're like, now get into a more vulnerable place where you could die in the dark.
In the dark. And you can, and she's trying. Like, Tiffany's trying so hard.
It's like they want her to crack. Because I do think Dee is onto something. They are a little jealous. Like, and granted, is Tiffany slightly insufferable with the amount of time she talks about her degrees and her achievements? Yes. But that's like where she grew up. Like, that's her.
She doesn't know how to interact
totally.
And also, who cares that she's talking about their seven bathrooms? They all brag about their money and their shit. Your like sanctimonious, like, we don't talk about our money. Bullshit.
But I think there's a hair of jealousy, because at the end of the day, and again, not saying staying home is not doing anything, at the end of the day, Tiffany does have a very important, powerful job. And she is doing something important. And I do think it tweaks some of the women a little bit.
Well, because it's her money. It's not their husband's money, right? Now, that's Stephanie's whole thing in the beginning of the season with
And Stephanie's self-aware enough to say, hey, I don't love that this is where my life has ended up. See, that's why I love Stephanie. I think she's great. Now, Court, if I could, just speaking of husband's monies, when we came back from the trip and we saw Court, much like me, and I put myself in this category, it seems the pandemic... Court has indulged himself.
No.
A bit.
Oh, yeah.
And you know how I feel about Danielle.
I know you love him.
But I feel he's, as have we all, I felt the pandemic's indulgence on Court.
I saw that as well.
Maybe it was Cam being gone. I don't know. He wasn't on the treadmill with Sweetie or whoever, all their dogs are Sparkle and Sweetie Baby Girl.
I find, I don't know, I really struggle with Cameron. I think, you know, when I think about how far she's come since her first season, like, I get it. She's so much less insufferable now than she was, but she's still so insufferable to me.
Her. Her insufferability, like, it works in juxtaposition with the other women for some reason. Like, she's not a good person, but she does give us a laugh every once in a while, and she is necessary to the show right now.
I think so. The only thing I want to say to Cam is, like, saying girl is not a personality trait.
No.
Like, the amount of times...
And Stephanie has that issue as
well. Has never started a sentence where she's speaking to a woman without beginning it with, girl. At what? If you did a drinking game where you took a shot every time Cam said girl, you would be drunk before the first commercial break. It is unbelievable.
Wow. I love her. You know, I love her. I prefer to be our, like, dizzy blonde who's just, you know, not as bright, but I love her antics with Court. I mean, I've said to me, they are our Lucy and Desi.
Oh my gosh.
And I do mean
a sad state of affairs if they are our Lucy. Like, we hit rock
for our housewives, you know, we're never going to get Lucy and Desi. So this is our version, I find. Portia's obviously our Lucy, but Court and her are of Dallas's Lucy and Desi.
Ugh, that is very interesting. Okay.
Jarrett Weisselman, you are a dream man.
Oh my gosh, you're so lovely. I guess we're just going to have, like, once a year, every year on this date, I will see you.
Yes, let's make it, because we do need to remember this. We're never going to forget that, you know, that day in everyone's lives when the pandemic became real, since before it, I've been telling everyone it was a hoax. A couple weeks leading up to it, and that it would, quote, blow over, and, like,
and I just remember
people are taking this serious.
Our dear friend was there that night too, Deanna Chang, and she was trying to hug everybody, and we all said no.
That was the first time we said, I think
we shouldn't do
it. Right, because we hadn't been in that place where it was weird yet, where, like, we were in elbow bumping and we weren't, like, waving.
But we still sat shoulder to shoulder and yelled at each other.
Right around that table.
Breathing all over
and giving waters out and just and talking about Cam and the gals. You know, nothing's changed.
And I hope a year from now, we're all together again in person and hugging and loving and sharing waters. Sharing spit like we did in the old day.
Yes.
What a time.
Jarrett Weisselman, thank you for being here. And
thank you so much.
You're so wonderful. Where can we find you? Where can people follow you?
Oh, I'm on Twitter and Instagram, as Jarrett says. And that's about it, because I don't have much else going on in this current pandemic.
Well, please keep us posted as you keep doing. And we will tell our listeners about the latest and the greatest. Thank you for giving us these new shows that I'm excited about.
And I'm going to throw out a show on Netflix that I like, which is A Murder Amongst the Mormons. And I think it kind of is a nice cross section of the things we discuss here. Mm. Yeah. And also the Cecil Hotel one is who?
That was a crazy one.
Yeah, that was. But I think I solved the mystery. Yeah, I think they solved it.
They told it to us.
I was like, they told you the answer. But yes, you did it first. You did it before they told you.
David was watching. He's like, these shows should not be allowed to be aired unless they are solved. And so I was very happy that one was solved.
That one was solved.
In the most devastating possible way.
Yes.
The funniest tweets that I always get are from people who are mad that Unsolved Mysteries doesn't give resolution at the end of an episode.
I said, Matt. They don't tell me the answer, and I need to know the answer.
We tell you in the title.
Not enough. I need to be told at the end. Again, these are unsolved.
All right. In this world, we need answers. I prefer solved mysteries.
I need solved. Okay. If I'm driving towards something, I need to drive towards the end. Like Portia, I just can't be wandering around Georgia in the night. I need to drive to the end.
You want to get to the pumpkin patch.
I want to get to the pumpkin patch or the murder solved. Whatever it is, I need to get there.
When I go into work today, I will pitch Ted Sarandos a show spinoff called Solved Mysteries.
Or just updated mysteries.
By the way, as a spinoff, let me tell you, it would get just as much.
I'm sure it would. Well, people like Danielle would be like, well, finally, I can believe that I can watch this.
Right.
Believe me, I've watched every single one. It hasn't stopped me, but it also makes me angry.
Yeah,
I understand. All right. I'll do what I can.
Jarrett, you're the best. I'm going to say bye to you and to all of our listeners. I just want to say God bless everyone, you know, having made it through this whole year. And I'm glad we've got to spend it together in some respects, having some laughs along the way. And I hope everyone is healthy and safe. And, you know, just to throw out there, my therapist said that this year mark is bringing up a lot of anger and sadness for people. So if you're feeling that, You're not alone.
If you're feeling that, don't watch Unsolved Mysteries because you'll just be mad.
You'll get much more angry. And if you're feeling sadness, don't watch the Cecil Hotel. Okay. Well, we will see you all next week. Thank you, Jarrett.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Caitlin. Thank you, Renee. Thank you, Kim Cooper. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank me. Drew, I'm just going to sing it.
Oh, wonderful. Beautiful.
Look, it wasn't a great,
it took me a second, but I love it.
Thank you. And it was bad. It's, you know, look.
No, you should be punished. You should be punished not thanking me. So, you know, good night and goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye and good luck.